Congregation is invited to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste, O God, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place.
You and the ark of your might.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
And let your saints shout for joy.
For the sake of your servant David,
do not turn away the face of your anointed one.
The Lord swore to David a sure oath, from which he will not turn back.
One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne.
If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them,
their sons also forever shall sit on your throne.
For the Lord has chosen Zion.
He has desired it for his dwelling place.
This is my resting place forever.
Here I will dwell, for I have desired it.
I will abundantly bless her provisions.
I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Her priests I will clothe with salvation.
And her saints will shout for joy.
There I will make a horn to sprout for David.
I have prepared a lamp for my anointed.
His enemies I will clothe with shame.
But on him his crown will shine.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. They set out for Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all of the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over till the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God."
The New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 6. "After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?' And he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little.' One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This indeed, the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, as a propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
The congregation may be seated.
Savior, like a shepherd,
Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask you to be in our hearts and our minds by your power of your holy word, that we may receive your gifts with thanksgiving, that we may use them well, that we may show our love through the things that you have given us, the possessions that you have given us, that we may show your love to our family, friends, and communities through the use of everything you give us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would like, you can follow a little bit lengthier outline in the bulletin insert. And the way you'll see it, see there's three parts, and each part has three letters, nine things. Well, I'm going to give you one word for each letter, for each part, one word. And if you're filling these out, if you'd like to, under number one, Jesus' miracle shows his A, concern, B, knowledge, C, power. A, concern, B, knowledge, C, power. The Old Testament reading about God giving bread in the wilderness miraculously and quail at night, the manna, is closely related and paralleled to Jesus' miracle of the 5,000 men plus women and children, feeding them. In both ways, God was taking care of his people. A, concern. Jesus was concerned about his people's bodily welfare. These 5,000 men, plus women and children, were following him, listening to his teaching. As these people came and listened to Jesus' teaching, they wanted to be in the kingdom of God. They were listening to the Messiah, the teachings from this great prophet, the Son of God. And they were concerned about their eternal life. They wanted to learn more, see what Jesus was doing, see the miracles he's doing. And Jesus was concerned that they would have food to eat. It was a long day. They were far away from any amount of food like they would need. He knew their situation, B, their knowledge, his knowledge. He knew their situation better than they. They followed him there. Apparently they followed them there without much food. He saw that. His disciples didn't know what they were going to do. He asked Andrew and Philip. Philip didn't know what to do. Andrew said, well, we have this little bit. But Jesus knew the situation. We can be in situations where we think we're in trouble, and we are to a certain extent, but Jesus knows the situation better than us. He knows what's going to happen that evening. He knows the next day. He knows the next week, so forth. Jesus shows his knowledge of our situations, of the crowds, his hearers' situations. And also see the power. The miracles of Jesus show us his power to help. There's nothing that can stop his help coming to us. He knows how he is going to address the situation, and he is going to do it. And in this case, yes, humanly speaking, five loaves of bread and two fish is not going to feed all those people. But he knew he was going to do it, and by his power, he could. That teaches us something about how Jesus can take care of us. Part two, the Israelites. The Israelites, A, grumbled. B, doubted. And C, misused, grumbled, doubted, and C, misused. They grumbled against Aaron and Moses. They were just brought out of slavery by the power of 10 plagues and also the parting of the Red Sea. And now they were on the other side, and it's desert. It's not cultivated land. It's not civilization like Egypt was. And they grumbled against Aaron and Moses. And that text that I read, the Old Testament reading, said Moses and Aaron said to him, why are you grumbling against us? We didn't do all this. It's the Lord who brought you out. Why are you behaving like this? And they doubted. Well, why were they grumbling? Well, you go a little bit lower or deeper into their thinking. They said, you've led us out here that we would all be killed. Wouldn't it be better if we were in Egypt? They really doubted whether God had the grace or the power, whether God could take care of them, despite seeing these 10 miracles, these 10 plagues, despite seeing the Red Sea part. They get through on dry land, on the seabed of the Red Sea, and their enemies, the soldiers of Pharaoh, get drowned. Yet, they still think God doesn't have power. Yet, they still think God is not going to take care of them. They doubt. But grumbling really comes from the doubt, the unbelief. And then God says, okay, I'm going to feed these people. Look what I'm going to do. So he gives this manna in the Hebrew. Manna in Hebrew means what is it? Manna. They give this what is it bread in the morning with the dew and quail plenty to eat at night. And God gave them very specific directions how much they should take, how they should measure it, who should get what. Follow this. And on the evening of the Sabbath, take two, because no work on the Sabbath, so take twice as much. Well, they didn't follow it. Did they want extra to sell? Were they afraid that God wouldn't provide again? Who knows? But they did not follow God's guidelines for his gifts to them. And so there wasn't a great punishment here, but none of them were killed or something like that. But the food rot. Okay, you want to take too much? We'll see what happens when you take too much. We'll just let it rot. So even though they saw the power of God and the grace of God to give this miraculous food and all these quails at night, yet they still wouldn't listen to God to use it rightly, like he said. Do I have to make too many applications to those three things to us? We grumble, we doubt, we misuse. That's a real law part of this sermon. We do that with his gifts all the time. The things he gives us, we grumble about it. We doubt that he really cares about us or can take care of us. And then when we do get things from him, so often we misuse it. Point three. Actually, I was getting to point three already, I guess. We doubt, we mistrust. And that point B, A, doubt, 3A, doubt, B, mistrust, and C, follow Jesus. A, doubt, B, mistrust, C, follow Jesus. The law part, or these law statements, these law thoughts of part two, how we also reject and doubt, we grumble and doubt and misuse. What's really underneath this is that we doubt God's will. This is our temptation, that God is good for us, that he's really watching out for us. We doubt that he's strong enough or loves us enough. And friends, I say it, forgive me if I say it every other Sunday, but this is the sin from the beginning, from Genesis 3. Did God really say you should not eat of all the trees of the garden? Oh, no, we can eat of the trees of the garden, but not of the tree in the middle of the garden. That one we can't eat or touch. And then what did Satan say? Oh, you will surely not die. But rather, God knows that if you eat of it, you will become wise like God, and you will know good and evil. God's keeping something back from you, Eve. There's something better for you if you would just eat. If you would just go against what he said, there's something better for you, because then you'll be like God. Then you'll know good and evil. Then you'll have everything you need. It's the doubt of God's love for her and Adam is a doubt of his word. This is the exact same sin that comes to us over and over again ourselves. What he says he will do and take care of us, we doubt. We doubt if he knows. We doubt if he's strong enough, powerful enough. B, mistrust. Those words that Jesus gave us, all his teachings are important. But those words that Jesus gave us in the Lord's Supper are really central. We mistrust him. We mistrust those words of the Lord's Supper. When he says, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Take and drink, this is the blood of the new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. When he says that this meal is the new covenant, he is making a promise, a vow. It is his will that we are in the new covenant with him and that our sins are forgiven. It is unbreakable on his part. That's what he accomplished on the cross. When he said it is finished, it is finished. The new covenant is set, is done. All the work to put the new covenant in place is done. So when we doubt and mistrust God, it's doubting that we're in the new covenant with him, that we're his sons and daughters, that we're his family, that he's not watching over us or can't watch over us. No, take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us. The blood of the Son of God is the power that he calls us to know he's taking care of us. If you like the word cross hanging better, you can use it. That's fine. But in my thinking, I was thinking about the word, and I don't know if I'm coining the phrase or I've heard it somewhere else, but a cross stole. What Jesus did for the cross, on the cross for us, that is his pastoring work for us. That is his saving work for us. He is watching over our souls who are damned to hell because of our sins, but he didn't want that to happen to us, and so he died on the cross. That is the new covenant. And he gives it to us in his meal. It's so powerful. It's so pervasive in the whole Christian faith. And so the idea of a cross still reminds us that Jesus is our shepherd, that he is our pastor, that he is the overseer of our souls. And on your own sometime, I suggest you, there's a passage right way at the bottom. It's not written out. You have to look it up. It says 1 Peter 2, 24 to 25. Look it up on your own. 1 Peter 2, 24, 25. Oh, pastor, why don't you read it to me? Okay, I'll read it to you. Pastor has to find 1 Peter first. 1 Peter 2. I'm going to read that to you. Read it at home too. But listen to these two verses. Peter wrote, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that word overseer there is a word from which we get pastor. So when he gives us and makes this promise to us in the Lord's Supper, I'm taking care of you, this is the new covenant. That is all the power and authority and a forgiveness given to us. And he calls us to believe him and to trust in him. As Luther says, we daily sin much. How do we, as Christians, and realizing as we get to know God's word better and better and go through our lives as Christians, and we see our faults and failings, what do you do? C, follow Jesus. He knows the right thing. He knows what to say to us. He has given us his word. He has given us a church. He has given us fellow Christians to say Jesus' words to us. You are forgiven. Remember, he healed the sick. He fed the 5,000. He walked on the waters in a storm. He did all this. He will help you. Follow Jesus. Follow the one who has done all this. Follow the one who gives us the new covenant, who died for us. The power of his death, the power of his resurrection is for us. We are in it. He gives us it. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus, who was willing to die even the death on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. We ask you that when we are tempted to grumble or doubt or turn away from your word, that you would turn us again, that you would forgive us and turn us again. Help us to be disciples, to be followers of Jesus, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. And help us to help one another as well. All these things, dear Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand as we confess our faith in Jesus using the Apostles' Creed written in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your church, our mother, you nourish and sustain our faith. Give peace to your church during the turmoil and warfare of this world, and cause us to rejoice in your goodness despite every cross and trial. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your people of old grumbled against your goodness and were not satisfied by your gifts, nor did they give heed to your commands. Give us ears to hear and hearts to trust your word. Make us content with what you provide and give us cheerful hearts to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of mercy, who gives daily bread to everyone without our prayer, even to all evil people, bless the merciful works of your church for the poor and needy, that rooted in Christ's love for us, we may reflect and share that love with others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, uphold in mercy all authorities, especially parents and the civil servants of our nation. Strengthen our homes and keep families firm in the Christian faith. Preserve our nation from wickedness and uphold order and justice for a peaceful life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we thank you for your daily gifts of family, friends, and neighbors who assist and aid us in all circumstances. We ask you to watch over all who serve us. We remember firefighters, law enforcement, emergency workers, military personnel, chaplains, medical persons, counselors, teachers, food producers, transportation and retail workers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, our shepherd, protect, comfort, and guide all who call upon you in need. We bring before you Margaret and Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Isaac, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, Bill, Jason, Sue, Brian, Gary, Keith, Dave, Brad, David, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. Grant healing and peace, that they may continue to serve you with joy in this life and finally come to the good land in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray. Heavenly Father, your Son multiplied bread and fish for thousands, showing himself to be the creator and giver of every good gift. Multiply the gifts of body and soul you provide for us from your gracious hand, and cause us to receive all your benefits with thanksgiving. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We pray. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Amen.
We say our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Longing. stars.